Blog Talk Radio.
We provided deeds. They were to go into escrow at First American Title. Mm-hmm. And if I had an option to go in and pay $1.4 million. And
all right, so I think the sound's fixed down. Let me start this video over again.
There smells a lot like freedom. Northwest Liberty News.
Whitefish Credit Union, you don't need to write any of this down. I got all the reports for you. Whitefish Credit Union loaned us some money in 2009. Okay. Shortly afterwards, they were barred from making any loans. The loan they made was one of a series of loans that they were supposed to make. And they agreed to that, okay? So, anyways, when we went back for the second loan, they reneged on it. And I got it laid out in here, okay?
Okay.
So, they never told any of the borrowers that they couldn't make loans. What they did is they engineered foreclosures against all of us. That got litigated until 2016, okay? And then the case got dismissed with prejudice.
Okay.
That sat us there. They got a judgment, and it was vacated, and the case was dismissed with prejudice, which concluded the loan. Okay, so what happened was, prior to the dismissal, there was a settlement conference, and they agreed to certain terms of the settlement agreement, where we provided deeds. They were to go into escrow at First American Title. Mm-hmm. And if I had an option to go in and pay $1.4 million, and anyways, we raised the $1.4 million. And we went to First American Title, and the deeds weren't there.
Okay.
And then they took the deeds, and just to give you the short version, all in here, they took the deeds and recorded them. And when they did that, they had your office go cut the locks off the gate.
Okay.
We've had this investigated by a private investigator,
okay.
And we've got expert witness reports and that kind of stuff that will go along with this. So we... Rather than go over that today and supply all of those documents, which you would just get flooded with information and probably would get lost in it anyways, and
okay.
Probably would just turn it over to a detective.
Right.
So, Senator Blaisdell has been involved in this, helping us with this. Representative Mark Nolan, who's on the Bank Oversight Committee, and Representative Derek Skeets. Austin Knutson is well aware of everything that's going on here. So, we were instructed by Hano to make a report to you,
mm-hmm.
and then he will, or you will get it to the detectives, and then we're going to have it. We want a sit-down meeting with the representatives, the expert witnesses and stuff, and we'll lay this case out.
Okay.
Now, they've committed fraud on the court, and they've obtained some judgments since then. They dismissed their lawsuit, they vacated their judgment, dismissed the lawsuit with prejudice, which concluded it, and they came back and tried to collect that again.
Okay.
That documentation where they did it. We've got really, really good documentation, and it comes from the courts, and it comes from the clerk and recorder's office. So it should be fairly easy to substantiate whether we're lying or they're lying.
Okay.
So they led not only us, we've got several other victims, and they led us all past our maturity date. They engineered the foreclosure, and that would have came out at trial in my first lawsuit with them. But we ended up in the settlement agreement that they didn't honor.
Okay.
So when I entered into that settlement agreement, there was a confidentiality clause, And I had all of that information, but I couldn't share it with any of the other victims.
Okay.
So, but since then, I've shared that information with them, and they came forward, and Jim's actually done interviews. See, like any contract, you know that you got to sign it, then you send it over to me to get signed, and that's what we did, and they just kept the agreement, and then they just pulled the deeds out of it and went and recorded it. They never took it, they never, there's all kinds of requirements, like they're required to notify the IRS of a cancellation of debt. They didn't do that, and that's tax evasion. They didn't put the documents into escrow. They didn't record it at the clerk and recorder's office. And then they told everybody we still owed the money and prevented us from ever being able to pay them. And then they said, well, times ran. You didn't pay us to $1.4 million. That was a condition precedent before we had to release the mortgage. No, it's not. It's just an absolute lie.
Okay.
And then they took the deeds and they went and recorded them. Okay? So, and then there's quite a few other things that they did. It's kind of laid out in here. This is just a general information.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots and lots of documents. Lots of documents to prove and back up everything that we say.
Okay.
And multiple victims as well.
Okay. Yes. This is... Once you understand this, you will realize that we can't allow this to happen in our community, not only to me, but to no one else.
Right. Yeah. You might take a look at these real quick.
Those are yours.
These are yours. And I was going to get this notarized, but the notary said that if I sign it in front of you, there's no place for a notary signature, and I could have went home and put one on it. I made this document up.
Okay.
She said if I sign it in front of you, that should be good enough.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I'm not a notary by any means, but yeah.
No, but I mean, I'm signing it under the penalty of perjury.
Yep.
Okay, so this is for you.
Okay, perfect.
And you can sit here and read it and ask questions if you would like. 7 pages, it's not that long of a read.
Yeah, no, all nice. I mean, see.
Do you need a pen, Dennis?
She's got a pen, I see there. I'll just go ahead and sign it right now. The date's not the same, but... 19th, right?
Yep.
Do I need to change that?
Yeah, if you just want to cross out the 18th and put the 19th there.
Northwest Liberty News. Picking the lock on the shackles of tyranny.
Okay, folks, that is the video by that I produced with Dennis Thornton, who showed up at the Flathead County Sheriff's Department to file a criminal complaint against Whitefish Credit Union. He subsequently, I'm going to bring up the documentation here in a minute, he has been awarded his property back. I say awarded. It's been quit claim deed over to him. And it sounds to me like everything Dennis Thornton was claiming all along ended up being truthful because let me show you the documentation here. Here are the docs. There we go. Here is the here's the most recent document right here. This is just a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. What is it? The 12th of it was dated the 12th day of May in the year 2022. So that was only, you know, not even a month ago. This is the documentation that was discovered with a search from one of the Dennis Thornton's associates, one of Thorco's associates, did a search and found this document here. This is the satisfaction of a mortgage document, which it certifies that a certain mortgage dated, made, and executed by Thorco Incorporated as mortgator. Mortgator to Whitefish Credit Union mortgatee conveying certain real estate as security for a payment of $3,360,000 therein stated, which mortgage was recorded in the office of the county clerk and ex officio register of deeds of Flathead County, Montana on 3/24/2009. It is stated here that this note secured thereby in the aforementioned debt is fully paid, satisfied, released, and discharged, and in consideration thereof, the said mortgage does hereby release and quit claim unto the said mortgagor, which is Thorco Incorporated, the premises thereby conveyed and mortgaged. And this is witnessed and executed on this 12th day of May in the year 2022. It's got the official stamp on it. And below, there's some pages missing, but this is basically the property that was taken, I believe, taken from Dennis Thornton and his in his company, Thorco. So what we have here is this basically is all the 14 videos that I produced and the interviews that I produced. We're going to be having another interview with one of the victims, Joe Clark, coming up here at the top of the next hour. At 1 p.m., he'll be here in studio. And what we'll do is we will discuss his case and have him bring it out into the open and just continue to really enlighten folks on what the heck's going on around here. And what we need to do is, what I would like to do is I'd like to send people over. I need to get the website and send people over to the website here so they can sign the sign the documentation that will sign the petition, I should say. So let me see if I can get this. I'm going to try to get this this petition brought up here. And when I do find it, I will send it over. I'll post it on the screen. I'm looking for it now. It's somewhere in Telegram. I don't remember where it's at, honestly. I really don't. There's so much going on here. I don't remember where the petition is. Perhaps I can reach out to Nick and have him send it over to me. But what you do is really what needs to happen is people need to sign up. Members of the credit union need to sign the petition. And if there's so many petitions, what they can do is you can call a board meeting and you can actually remove the executives at the credit union, the people, I believe, who are in question here when it comes to these things that have been going on. Okay, so I can't really find this stupid link here right now. There it is. Okay, good. So let me copy this link, and maybe I can bring it up here on my screen and show you what I'm talking about. And there we go. See if I can bring it up here. Here we go. Website. All right, that worked. Okay, so if you go to savewfcu.defundtyrants.com, that's savewfcu.defundtyrants.com, you can sign the petition. Just hit sign, and you can sign the petition and submit it to have a special meeting, a special Whitefish Credit Union meeting. So let me put this in the chat room here in the room for the Telegram. So it's in Telegram as well, and it's right here on the screen. Again, if you're in Montana and you're a Whitefish Credit Union member and you want some accountability, go to savewfcu.defundtyrants.com. That's savewfcu.defundtyrants.com. And you can also sign the petition there. So check everything what's going on there and can sign the petition. All right. Pardon me. Okay, so what we have here is a situation currently, I believe, is a situation where we are, you see the gun crimes that have been committed, the mass shootings that have been committed here in the last several weeks. Now, what people don't understand is there was a mass shootings all over the country, all over the world. If I can type it in here, mass shootings that ended in gun confiscation. Let's see, I need to spell it right. This is not a new tactic. This is not a new tactic at all. Look at Australia, for example. Mass shooting in Australia, what happened? They go in and declare that everybody needs to turn in their gun, and a lot of people did. I hit the wrong button here. Again, this is the next screen for Joe Clark. A lot of people did turn in their firearms. And now what we have here is a situation in Australia where they are getting pretty much overrun by their government, and they have no way to fight back. They have no firearms. They have no way to defend themselves. And understand that our founding fathers in America specifically gave us our Second Amendment, or at least didn't give it to us. I mean, we have the right, a God-given right to defend ourselves, but they enumerated those rights in the Second Amendment. And it wasn't for hunting and fishing. It was for defending yourself against an out-of-control government. This is exactly what we have right now in this country. This is an out-of-control government. And they know why the founding fathers put that provision in the Bill of Rights. They know that. They know it's for to stand up against a corrupt government. Understand that. Corruption, people that are corrupt, corrupt dictators, corrupt organizations, corrupt regimes. Interesting. It looks like I have lost my feed for... Isn't that interesting? I've lost my Zoom feed, apparently. Apparently, I've lost my Zoom feed here, so you can't see me. Maybe I can log back into that. We'll see. Interesting. It says if I didn't have any... So let me go back in here again. So I cut the Zoom meeting out. That's interesting. So sorry about that. Hopefully I'll be popping back in here in just a moment. I don't know if it's going to pick back up again. It may or may not. I don't know. It's not. So I'm going to have to reconnect the Zooms here to this screen. Sorry about that, folks. I guess you have to have a... I guess it didn't recognize that I was using Zoom. So it cut out my feed, but there it is back. I am back. And we'll have Joe Clark here in a minute. Or I shouldn't say a minute, but he'll be here before the next hour. Okay, sorry about that little delay. We're back here with you. So what has happened historically is the false flag attacks, and I did a whole report on a whole video on false flags here. Geez, I don't know, 10 days ago or so, and talking about false flags, history of false flags, how false flags are used, false flag attacks. So it really, one of the main things that a false flag does, a false flag attack, it furthers an agenda. It furthers an agenda, usually the establishment's agenda. And in this particular case, their agenda is to disarm the populace. They realize that they can't take us over. They can't take over the United States if they have an armed population. Do you think a lot of that? Do you think a lot of these things are just happening by chance? I mean, if you look back historically about the amount of mass shootings that occurred, and you've talked to probably people, if you have enough people in your circle of influence that are old enough, they'll probably tell you literally where they would walk. There's been many reports of folks that have walked to school with their gun and hunted on the way home, and were able to shoot, you know, dinner for the family on the way home. This is not a joke. This is not hyperbole. There's people still alive who used to do that. You know, what happened? What can we point to any one thing or any one event that led us to be so fearful? Why are we just so fearful of life? We're fearful of living. We're fearful of acting in any way, shape, or form, it seems. It seems that fear has overrun us, and we're worse off for it. That's one of the things that we really have to overcome, is the fear of, and they stoke it. They stoke the fear. They perpetuate the fear. The fearmonger. They devote whole channels to making you feel afraid, because when they think that you're afraid, when you are afraid or you feel afraid, you're going to run to security, right? No one likes to live in a state of where they're uncertain and they're not really sure about the future, and they're worried about you know, what's going to happen next, or if they're going to be a victim of crime or whatever. They play on that. They play on that fear, and they use that to manipulate people. This is trauma-based mind control. I had John Paul Rice on here a couple of days ago. Pardon me. Actually, he was on the Critical Disclosure broadcast I do at 10 a.m. And we talked about that very thing, about the trauma-based mind control, how they use fear to control folks. And it only is going to continue to happen as long as we continue to allow it. Really, that's what it comes down to. This is not rocket science. We just have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to put up with it anymore. But we're not there yet. We're getting there. We're getting there, but we're not quite there yet. Pardon me. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to go unlock the front door for my guest to come in, because he should be here pretty soon. And then we'll have Joe Clark on at the top of the next hour. What we're going to do here with this broadcast is we're going to continue. We're going to have open phone lines. I've been on a break from Northwest Liberty News. I haven't had a chance to do much updates on the website. That is my goal this weekend. I've been doing some work on it already. I'm going to get it all set up and ready to go this weekend with all the links, the show links and everything on there. You should be able to just go to Northwest Liberty News and watch the broadcast live if it's all set up properly. When it's all said and done, I'll have the call-in line there. If you choose to call in and interact with the broadcast, you can ask questions and make comments. You don't have to agree with me. That's fine. Just be respectful and don't be abusive if you want to call. 563-999-3736 is the call-in line. And I haven't tried it yet. I'm assuming it works that way. I haven't tried the call-in line. It's a new call-in line, so I haven't tried it yet. But you're welcome to, if you'd like, 563-399-3736. And we'll bring you in on the broadcast. Now, I do have several screens that I have up here, multiple screens. So if you call in, I may not be able to get to you right away because I may not see you right away. But hang out. Hang there. Hang tight. I think you can actually listen to the show while you're on hold. I think that's what goes through is the show. I'm pretty sure. So if you want to call in again, you can do that. And we'd be happy to take your phone call. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break here in just a moment, and at the top of the hour, we're going to have Joe Clark here in studio. I have all the lighting and everything set up here for him. Maybe one day I'll take my camera and do a shot of the other studio in there, the other green screen studio that I have here in Kalispell. But I don't think today's that day. All right, check out what I have going on over at libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. That's libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. Share the videos, like the channel, share it around, help get the word out. We'll be back after these brief messages here on Northwest Liberty News.
If you like classic cars, exceptional service, and a money-back guarantee, then the Corner Shop in beautiful downtown Kalispell is the place for you. Whether it's an oil change, engine diagnostic, suspension work, or brakes all around, the Corner Shop has you covered. With expert technicians and a free consultation on all services, you can't go wrong with the Corner Shop. Did I mention the classic cars? While you're waiting for your expert service to be performed, take a stroll through the showroom to see Kalispell's smoothest collection of classic cars. The Corner Shop is conveniently located at 1212 South Main, just south of the courthouse. The Corner Shop is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., so drop by for an appointment or call 755-7777. That's 755-7777. The Corner Shop, Kalispell's full-service auto repair facility.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Legacy and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest are known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Okay, folks, thanks for hanging on for the break. It is a cloudy day here. I just stepped outside again to see if perhaps the sun is going to poke out here. It's not. It doesn't appear that it's going to. So it's going to be that way for the next several days here, I think, in the Flathead Valley. And what are you going to do? It is what it is. It's going to be pretty hot, though, here pretty soon. And it's going to be nice days, cool nights. And it's great around here in the summertime, that's for sure. Okay, so we've been talking about the White First Credit Union here and the decision, the filings, the recent filings in the Thorco case, where they have, quit claim deeded the property back over to Dennis Thornton and satisfied that loan. That's what Dennis was saying all along. So now we're going to continue here on this broadcast to report on the story. Just a heads up, if you are looking for the original articles over there on Montana Daily Gazette, they've been taken down as of yesterday. So you can go to creditunioncrimes.com, and that will still link to the Northwest Liberty News page. And I'm in the process of taking all of those videos and reloading them back up onto my own personal channel, because I will not take those videos down. I will not remove the videos. I just won't. So, because what I'm reported is true. I'm not going to back down from the truth. We just have to stand. We have to stand up, even if it's not popular. And that's what I aim to do. So, okay, we're going to talk. I think Gary Marbit just sent me a message, unless it was a text. I think he just sent me a message. I'm going to check my email. I believe his recommendations just came out for the sheriffs. And if you're not familiar with Gary Marbit, he's with MSSA, Michigan Sports Shooting Association. They've been a guest on this broadcast several times on Northwest Liberty News. I interviewed him up there, I believe, in the Rotunda in Helena several years back. He's always gracious to come on the program when I can get in touch with him. He's a hard guy to get a hold of. But MSSA is put out recommendations for, let's see if it was in here. Yeah, it was sheriff recommendations. So let's see if I can bring this up here and thing. Okay, so here's the sheriffs. If you're a Montanan, here are the sheriffs that Jesse Slaughter is recommending here in Montana. For Cascade County, in Great Falls, he is recommending Jesse Slaughter. For Sanders County and Thompson Falls, he's recommending Sean Fielders. For Richland County or Sydney, he's recommending Shane Kyle. In Macomb County Circle, MSA made an unusual co-endorsement for the primary, Josh Norris and Paul Skyberg. So those are the sheriffs, and I know Jesse Slaughter. I don't really know the other ones. I know Jesse Slaughter pretty well, but on the show here several times. Jesse Slaughter, if you're not familiar, we've talked about Jesse, and he is he's the sheriff there in Cascade County that sends his deputies out to the more rural Montana high schools to teach the Constitution to the students there. It's a great program, and it's had some great success. And I am a fan and a supporter of Jesse Slaughter. I consider him a buddy of mine. And, he's always been, I guess you could say, constitutional. He's always done the right thing since I've known him. And I don't see any reason for that not to continue. But if it doesn't, and he turns over a new leaf, if you will, then we'll report it on here on the broadcast. But I don't see that happening with him. but you know, no one's perfect. And we all do certainly make mistakes, and you know, sometimes when you have to make judgment calls, you're getting put in a tight spot, and you don't always make the right ones. But that's not him. Jesse's a pretty straight up guy, so we're supporting Jesse. So you can check out what's going on at libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. As I said, this is just in the first few days of me sort of resurrecting the Northwest Liberty News broadcast here. I'm going to be working on the website this weekend and getting all those links straightened out, and having a more manageable site there, and get the links for the videos and everything on that website. Pardon me. So hopefully you'll be able to just go there and you can find everything that you need. In the meantime, you can go to libertylinks.io/Jim's Links and find out a lot of what's going on, a lot of the links for the social media. Okay, so I'm going to cover some of the news here that's going on, and I'm just going to wing it here because I haven't really checked out the news, so to speak, here yet. So I don't really know what's going on in the world these days because I've been doing so much other stuff. But I'll take a stab at it here, and we'll cover some of these things. So let me remove this here. Isn't that weird that what happened to the weird that's what happened to our to the feed there, to the Skype feed. It is what it is. All right, we're going to hit a couple of websites. We'll hit Natural News, Zero Hedge. Biden, a speech full of obvious lies. Is that a surprise to anybody? Putin says U.S. decision to print money is behind soaring food prices. You're correct about that. Former Goldman Sachs PhD never returning to normal. What is normal? I mean, that's the big question, right? What's normal? What's normal? If it's being raped by banksters and being lied to by public servants and those in the media, if that is going back to the old way is, and I don't want to go back to the old way. Sorry, don't want to be. You know, really need to flush these crooks out is what we need to do, and hopefully we're in the process of doing that. And we need to do it one person at a time, and you need to be local. I think that's what we all need to do. We need to act locally. I think that's where a lot of the power is going to be. It's not going to be in Washington, D.C., folks. They're just crooks. They're crooks. They're crooked, and they do crooked things. So we're going to continue to try to grow this channel here. I'm going to get a little bit better at marketing myself, which is I'm a terrible guy at doing that. That's a weakness of mine, and I got to work on getting that out there more and getting my shows out there more. Hopefully I'll come up with a process here that'll make it a little bit easier, a little bit more automated. That's the goal. So, We'll see. Okay, as again, we're having Joe Clark coming up here in just a couple of minutes. He'll be here and probably be coming in the door here. I think I forgot to keep the door open. I think I kept the door locked. So what we'll do is let me go unlock the door for Joe real quick. And in the meantime, you can take a look at this here. And this is this Mike Adams. So let me this little. Here, take a look at this headline. Mike, USA domestic food production now collapsing due to fertilizer cost, scarcity, diesel price inflation, and food protectionism. Hold on. All right, thanks for letting me take that break. I had to unlock the door for my guest, Joe Clark, who'll be coming here anytime. So I did have it's interesting that this comes out from Mike Adams. We had a meeting yesterday talking about these things, talking about what's going on in Florida. I had one of my friends on who has connections down in Florida to really the breadbasket of produce down in Florida. And he's saying that there are food places that are closing down there. About half of them are going to be closing down. They don't have the trucks to get the food out. They're getting bumper crops, but they are, right there. That is the actual story. I talked about it yesterday. Food industry transport workers are sitting on their hands in Florida. Yesterday, a source informed me that food industry transport workers in Florida who would normally be working 6 hours a day, they are sitting on their hands with zero work. There's no crops to transport. 10,000-acre farms. And this is going on, folks. This is not going to be good in the long run. This is not trying to be fearmonger. But this are people that are inside people that called me and tell me, you know, I got folks that are working down there in the food industry, in these 10,000-acre farms down there, and they're telling us that things are not going so well. Things are not going well at all. There's a food shortage. There's a trucker shortage. There's a shortage of people that to drive the vehicles, drive the trucks. There's diesel shortages. This is not by accident. This is done by design, and this is going to be their plan. They're going to try to starve us out. This is how they roll. This is not the first time that they've done this, and hopefully it's the last. But this is something the thing that pulled in. Understand, if you have a starving population, they become dependent upon the government, who has stored a bunch of food and goods for a long, long time now that they can use as weapons. You're welcome to have a bucket of food if you turn your firearm in. How long before that comes? I mean, you see how hard they're trying to take firearms away right now. If they're not successful at doing that in the normal false flag method type way, they're going to probably revert to more aggressive tactics, meaning, again, potentially starving out the population under the understanding that they can have food if they turn their firearm in. Now, you may be a pro-Second Amendment person like I am, up and down and all around, and you may bleed red, white, and blue. It comes down to a point where you have children, or you have young children, or you're even not so young children, and you have no food and you're facing starvation. There is going to come a point, psychologically speaking, where you would turn your gun in to get food. The food, to be able to have nourishment like that, to have food, it's a basic, building block of your, what you need to function in the world, right? You have to have food and shelter and clothing. You don't necessarily have to have clothing, but you get what I'm saying. You need food, shelter, and security. And when you don't have those things, you don't have food especially, studies have been done that war game these things out, and people that stop eating, people that go without food after a certain period of time, will eat their neighbor. I know that sounds gruesome, and it's a terrible, terrible thought, but it'll get to a point where their desire and drive for food overrides their neighborly, their good neighbor qualities at some point. Now, of course, we hope and pray that doesn't happen, because if it does, it's, Mad Max scenario, and no one wants to live through that. However, what's going to happen if they pull it off? They're going to allow that to happen on the surface, and these elites are going to go underground to their bunkers and underground facilities that they have. There are several of them here in Flathead Valley. Matter of fact, I knew someone who built underground bunkers for the very, very wealthy people here. There's lots of billionaires here in Flathead Valley. I think there's 11 billionaires, pardon me, which is a lot for this population here in Flathead Valley. For, I think it's 120,000 people maybe total. I mean, that's a give or take roughly. But to have 11 billionaires in a population of 120,000 is a lot. It's a lot percentage-wise. So this area here is ripe, especially with the mountains that we have here. This area is ripe for underground bunkers, and there are several of them here in the valley. Of course, I don't know their exact location, because that would sort of defeat the whole purpose of having them. But they're under their homes. pretty much or close to that. But, you know, to get to their homes, it's a, you know, it's a locked gate and, you know, it's a, you know, I don't know how much a security person is going to hang around if everything collapses. They're probably going to go home and be with their family. But if you've seen some of these underground bunkers, I mean, they have, you know, 12-inch concrete walls, pardon me, reinforced with steel. You know, they're practically impenetrable by the common folk. You know, military may be able to shoot a bunker buster or something in there. But, you know, your average, you know, zombie mob is not going to be walking around with bunker buster bombs. At least you hope not. If that starts happening, then, you know, we're in some big trouble. Because if we get the average citizen having bunker buster bombs, where society is going to would collapse. Because people would be using those up on each other. You know that. You know that for sure. Okay, so let's cover a couple of these other news stories here. We're going to have Joe Clark. He should be showing up here. I know he was getting a couple of things going on, but he'll be here in a minute, and we'll have him hooked up over next door, run a quick commercial, have him all hooked up over there, and get him ready to go. If you want to call into the show here and talk about anything, you can really call it. You can call it 563-999-3736. 563-999-3736. I've always been pretty good with getting phone calls in back through, historically speaking. Right now, again, this show is just so new. This is what the second or third broadcast will be bringing this back. So I'm going to continue to ramp up the awareness of the show and hopefully get more people tuning in and more people calling. Because I think calling's pretty interesting. I like calling. You know, there's some caveats to phone calls, they're manageable. I think if you just request generally for people to not be vulgar and not be abusive, generally speaking, people will comply or at least, you know, comply with your request on that particular topic. But if not, you know, what are you going to do? That bothers me less and less as I get older about that type of stuff. But I do know that my daughters occasionally will tune in once in a great while. So I want to kind of keep it clean for them in case they do. So, all right, let's hit the news. So not good news about the domestic food production. This is not a good thing. We saw this coming. We knew this was coming. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Let me open this up here. I think I can put this, I think I can pop myself on the screen here. Give me a minute. There we go. We don't want my noggin to be that big on there, so let's bump this down a little bit. There we go. All right. Now we can both see what's going on. All right. Oops. There we go. All right. Domestic food production, nuclear-armed Pakistan, now on the verge of economic collapse. So here's what happens technically, typically. Nuclear-armed Pakistan, now on the verge of economic collapse. So when they get on the verge of economic collapse, historically, especially if they're nuclear-powered, they're a nuclear country, what happens is they'll sell those nuclear bombs, unfortunately, to neighboring countries, and then next thing you know, you have a tin pot dictators that have nuclear weapons, which is not good for anybody in that block or even us here in America. So that's why you know, when a nuclear armed country like Pakistan is on the verge of economic collapse, that is definitely something to take notice of. Because again, what they're going to do is if they need money, they're going to sell what they have, and that has a tremendous amount of value. That's for sure. So I tell you what we do. Joe is in the studio here, so we're going to take another quick commercial break. I'm going to go over there and hook him up. We're almost ready to go, and I will have Joe hooked up here in a minute. We come back on the other side of this break. We'll have Joe Clark here, and he'll tell about his experience with White First Credit Union. I'm James White, your host. This is Northwest Liberty News, libertylinks.io/Jim's Links, or northwestlibertynews.com. We'll be back after these brief messages.
If you like classic cars, exceptional service, and a money-back guarantee, then the Corner Shop in beautiful downtown Kalispell is the place for you. Whether it's an oil change, engine diagnostic, suspension work, or brakes all around, the Corner Shop has you covered. With expert technicians and a free consultation on all services, you can't go wrong with the Corner Shop. Did I mention the classic cars? While you're waiting for your expert service to be performed, take a stroll through the showroom to see Kalispell's smoothest collection of classic cars. The Corner Shop is conveniently located at 1212 South Main, just south of the courthouse. The Corner Shop is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., so drop by for an appointment or call 755-7777. That's 755-7777. The Corner Shop, Kalispell's full-service auto repair facility.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Legacy and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest are known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Okay, great. We just made it back in time. Thanks for hanging on for the break. I'm your host, James White. This is Northwest Liberty News, and I am your host, and it is the 3rd of June, 2022. And let me pop Joe back over here. There we go. All right, very good. Joe Clark is with us here in studio. Joe Clark has been on the broadcast here with us before. He is one of the videos featured. If you go to creditunioncrimes.com, that's creditunioncrimes.com. You'll see Joe's video there, his previous video. And this will be a new video, but it's going to be similar probably in a lot of ways to the previous one. We're going to have Joe tell the story. This is all in light of new information here, and I know Joe is aware of it. New information that Dennis Thornton's property has been returned to him. His loan has been according to the records that I've seen, his loan has been satisfied. They quit claim deeded his property back into his name, his company's name. Joe Clark, thanks so much for joining us here. We're going to talk about that and other things. Appreciate you being here in studio, and thanks for coming back on Northwest Liberty News. Yeah, you can just go ahead and hit that disc there, and you're off mute. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great. Great to have you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you being here. Okay, so just give me your reaction, if you can, just your initial reaction. What's your thoughts about I covered it before you came on here. What's your thoughts about Dennis Thornton? And you've seen the documentation, I'm sure. What's your thoughts about that? Looks legitimate to me. What do you think about them quit claim deeding the property back to Dennis and saying that loan that he apparently owed is all since satisfied?
I'm excited for Dennis, and it's about time. The only thing is, I don't know what happened behind the scenes. I don't know how that came about, whether it was actions by the state investigator in the governor's office, or just that they finally realized that Dennis wasn't going to give up and he was in the right. Either way, he has his property back, and I'm happy for him.
And we've done several videos here on Northwest Liberty News in support of Dennis, in support of yourself. We had the video. I'm going to be posting that this weekend on Northwest Liberty News. I don't think I have it up there yet, but on Credit Union Crimes, it will be posted there. You went before the Montana legislature or the a committee. I think it was a judiciary committee,
correct.
I believe.
Yeah.
And you went and spoke there. That was a very powerful speech that you gave there for sure. And Joe, you're fighting your own battle. We've been covering Dennis Thornton's pretty much, more than others, just because it's right here in Flathead Valley. I mean, we went up there, of course, did the video. He's got his equipment up there. He cut the lock off and all that. Yours didn't have nearly as much drama as this one has had yet. I'm sure you've been following it. Tell us if you can, Joe. Give us just a background on your story. If I remember correctly, I mean, you had done lots of loans with White First Credit Union. You never had a problem. I mean, millions of dollars in loans. I don't know if you were the one, if it was Winston or yourself, or was pulled aside and threatened and say, if you don't play ball, then we're going to take all your properties. I don't know if it was
that was Winston.
That was Winston. Anyway, that's the kind of people we're dealing with. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Joe, and I'm going to have you say in your own words, give us a bit of a background and tell us why you think you were victimized by White First Credit Union.
Well, one thing that I'd like your listeners to understand is that while this was happening to me and the others, I didn't understand what was going on. It started back in 2010 and culminated for me in 2014. But it took another 4 years before I really understood what the Whitefish Credit Union did. And I would really encourage anybody that's listening to this, if you know of anybody that lost property in that time frame to the Whitefish Credit Union, to come forward and talk to us in private or on your show. I know I've met some people, they were ashamed of what happened to them because they didn't understand what was happening, just like I didn't. I had done business with the Whitefish Credit Union for years. I considered them part of my team in what I was doing. I did over $20 million worth of loans with them. And in 2010, I bifurcated my properties. In other words, I took all my properties and separated them into separate LLCs because of liability concerns. And the Whitefish Credit Union officer promised my wife and I that he would go ahead and just renew the loans in those particular names. Well, kept after them, and that never happened. They were doing things like asking me for more collateral on property, but they didn't have anything to back that up. They used what's called CMAs. That's where they hire a realtor just to take a look at it. And they can't make loans on that. And I just didn't understand what was going on with him because I had such a good relationship with them. Eventually, I got so frustrated, and there were so many other things going on in my life that I says, well, why don't you just let me keep the commercial properties, the buildings that I had four commercial buildings, and you can just go ahead and take the land back and we'll settle it. And when I made that discussion with them, we weren't behind, we weren't, the maturity dates weren't due on those commercial buildings. I had seven loans amounting to $13 million, and I only owed $5 million on those loans. And I was, looking back, it was just so frustrating, not understanding what they were doing. And you'll find this consistently when you talk to people. Eventually, they put all those properties in default. As soon as I said, well, let's settle this and get this done, they put them all in default, even the ones that the maturity date hadn't happened. Hired an attorney, and the attorney came highly recommended, said that he had won some cases with the Whitefish Credit Union. He worked for a little while. Pretty soon I couldn't get a hold of him. He disappeared for 45 days. So I hired another attorney, and the first thing that attorney asked me was, did you know you had a default judgment against you? Well, I didn't even know what that meant. What it meant was that the judge had decided to award all the property to the Whitefish Credit Union. I had never been in court. I had never been served any paperwork about that.
Let me take a shot. Let me take a shot. Was it either Judge Allison or Judge Wilson? Was it one of those two judges that made that decision?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Wow. I'm shocked that I knew that. Anyway, go ahead.
If you took the time to look at my court documents and looked at Dennis Thornton's documents, you would see judgments with the same kind of proposals to the court from him against the Whitefish Credit Union and myself. Well, when he found out that we had a summary judgment, my attorney got a hold of the other attorney, and he said he'd never been served. Well, there's a rule called Rule B that if somebody makes a mistake or something, you can exercise this Rule B and open up the case again. Well, we informed the court that our attorney had never been served. We informed the court that the paperwork that was being acted on didn't reflect the correct ownership of the properties. And some of the loans, there was a couple of lines of credit in there that hadn't been fully distributed, yet they were claiming the full amount. Anyway, we brought all this stuff to the court's attention, and the court denied our request. They were going to take our property back. Now, if you reconcile that to what happened with the Whitefish Credit Union, Dennis Thornton, he had the same case, the same kind of scenario. He had a summary judgment against the Whitefish Credit Union. Well, the Whitefish Credit Union says, well, we just, you know, we didn't get the paperwork or something. But the judge ruled in their favor. So the bottom line is that the court system here in the Valley is protecting the Whitefish Credit Union. Imagine that, that they would protect them and give them special treatment over individuals like myself. But eventually, the only way I could stop that action was to put my company into bankruptcy. And I had to sell some of my other properties. I had some land over 20 acres in Polson and some other properties. I sold that so I could afford to pay the attorneys, which left me only with the properties that were in foreclosure, $13 million worth of property. And through a series of events, I finally had to settle with them. Ran out of money, ran out of resources, ran out of juice. And I settled with them for the amount of a commercial building that I owned in Great Falls. And that was the exact amount that they settled for, was that value of that building, because they knew I had it. And that was collateral they were asking for back when we were just trying to get something done. Well, years after I said that was in 2014. So years after that, working with Dennis, I started to learn actually what the Whitefish Credit Union did. And they had a pre-thought and pre-executed plan that they used on us and probably 80 to 100 other borrowers that could be listening to me today. But they didn't understand it. They still probably don't understand it unless they're listening to this and investigate it. So what happened was the Banking Commission found that they were out of regulatory with their regulations with their numbers. So they were banned from making any new commercial loans, and they were told they needed to get rid of their commercial loans. Good for the Banking Commission. But what they did in that case is they hired a new CEO, and they hired some specialists that their background was in repossessions. And I have the depositions from these people. If anybody wants to read them, I'm glad to share them. But these people, that's what they did for a living before they went to work for the Whitefish Credit Union, was repossessing. People like Aaron Archer, who is their special assets manager, which means he's a professional repossessor. So that's okay. I mean, they can hire whoever they want to. But what they did is they made a policy not to renew or make any new commercial loans. Well, that policy is okay too. But what they didn't do is they didn't tell me, and they didn't tell any other borrower.
Right. They didn't notify the borrowers. Correct.
I was not able. I did not know that they were not going to renew my loan. So I have all the evidence broke down in the spreadsheets. I have all the emails. I have all of the appraisals, all the CMAs, all of the appraisals were supposed to be checked by a third party. None of them were. I have all that information. I have all of the stuff in timelines and broke down in a separate spreadsheets so they can be cross-correlated. I gave this information to the Banking Commission. They didn't even look at it. They didn't do a thing about it. I mean, I read all the regulations from the NCUA. I read all the handbook, and I found all the violations they did. I documented those for them, and they didn't do anything about it.
So was Melanie Hall the banking commissioner at the time?
That is correct.
And it was under the Bullock administration, correct?
That is correct. You know, and when I talked to the committee in Helena, I was very firm. If you watch that video, you'll see I was very firm, very emotional. I asked for her resignation or at least get her fired. She did not do her job. She's still not doing her job. She's protecting the Whitefish Credit Union at the detriment of the borrowers. And she went so far to say is that we were basically deadbeat borrowers when she testified. It was just so irritating. Anyway, so that was the first step they did is they hired the correct people to do the job, the Whitefish Credit Union. Second step is that they made that policy and withheld it from the borrowers. The third step they did is they stonewalled us. I say us because everybody I've talked to that's been through this experience had the same experience. You could not get a hold of them. And, I was even emailing my Doug Johnson, my loan officer, when he was actually wasn't even there. He was fired. And I had properties. I sent buyers into the Whitefish Credit Union to get financing for those properties, not knowing that they wouldn't give them a loan. And they got stonewalled. We eventually had one guy or one lady that was interested in some land we had, and she got walked in by a realtor, and the realtor told her that we were underwater, it wasn't worth the money that we were asking for it. And I timelined that back. It's on the spreadsheets that shows that they had a bogus appraisal, and we had asked for a new appraisal that came in. It was $300,000 more than the land loan was worth. Has plenty of loan to equity value, but whoever it was there. I went back and interviewed Doug Johnson years later, and he said he never got that appraisal. They withheld it from him. And I had appraisers look at the appraisals that they did do in this period, and they were not using the correct comps. What they were doing is the next step after stonewalling is that they were stripping the equity out of the properties with these appraisals. And you have to understand that there's two ways to order appraisal, and it's usually done that way. One is that they give written instructions, and the other is that they give verbal instructions. And, it's like Dennis Thornton's case. They were actually doing repossession appraisals before his property was even put in default, or they went after it. And that's the way I interpret mine, is that they were doing repossession appraisals while they were before they went into default, because that's what they were trying to do. They didn't tell me that they weren't going to renew my loans. I have emails showing me constantly asking for the renewal paperwork and what we could do to get it done, and just frustrating it wasn't happening. So that's the third step that they did. The next step that they did is that they stripped the equity. Then they would get you in default, and when you're in default, you can't go to a lender, another lender, like I went to Glacier Bank. They wouldn't loan me money because I was in default. There's just no way. So they corkscrew you down where they try to show you that your property is not worth anything anymore. They've stripped the equity. In fact, in my case, they use CMAs. Like I mentioned, they use CMAs and were asking for more equity, even when they had no intention of renewing the notes. So they're asking for more equity. And I was sending customers to them, not knowing that they weren't going to give any loans.
Joe,
so all the decisions.
You, what you're talking about here, you're not talking about a bookkeeping error or somebody overlooked some entry in a log or something. It sounds to me like this is It's called the conspiracy to defraud, is what it sounds like to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had a plan, and they executed that plan in those steps. That's true. I mean, it's fraud.
So, and you never got a day in court, because the corps are in court around here, as you stated so aptly previously. It seems that they are on the home team of the Whitefish Credit Union. They're all on the same team together, apparently. So you're not really, you can't find any justice probably in Flathead Valley. You haven't found any, I'm sure.
I'm not confident that you would. You know, the thing is you mentioned that we pointed out to the court that the companies that they were trying to get the land back from didn't even own the land, yet the court did it anyway.
It's like Dennis Thornton had his expert witness that had been an expert witness in court before, had worked for the credit union, I think for 33 years as a credit union regional director, and like another 13 or 14 years as an investigator. And the guy's name is escaping me right now. But they sealed his testimony, his expert testimony. He's an expert witness. He's been expert witness in courts, in court cases in the past. And they sealed his testimony because he said in his testimony, he said that Whitefish Credit Union not only reneged on a verbal contract, but they did on a written contract as well. You can't, you know, as a bank, Joe, it seems to me that Whitefish Credit Union just, you know, I'm not a banking expert. Nor am I a real estate expert, but it looks to me like Whitefish Credit Union wants to be a real estate company, not a bank. Like that, they've moved into the real estate broker line of business. Do you kind of see that as well?
Oh yeah, and we've uncovered that some of the board members have ended up with property. And what the
Wait, flesh that out. What do you mean? Go over that again. What was that?
Well, there was repossessed property that some of the board members ended up owning. And that's not supposed to happen.
So the bank went in and foreclosed on it. The bank went in and foreclosed on it, and the members swooped in and bought it after it was foreclosed. Kind of what you're saying.
Not members, board members.
Board members. Board members.
Yes, yes. The other thing in my case, the title company that I closed my documents with, most of them, was owned by a Whitefish Credit Union board member, and I didn't know that. So as a board member, because of the size of my loan, she had to approve those loans to happen. And then she would close the documents in her office. And then when the default came, that had to be done by the board. The board decided to put all my properties in default, although they were owned by different LLCs. They put them all in default. She was a board member that decided that. And then when supposedly I was supposed to get served from the